click the subscribe button, hit the bell icon to never miss another update.
Name Jafar, patronym Sadiq. He was the son of Imam Bakir, grandson of Imam Zain al-Abidin and great-grandson of Imam Hussein. Eighth link of chain of continents and sixth Imam. His mother Umme Farwa was the granddaughter of Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr and her father Qasim ibn Muhammad was one of the popular scholars in Medina. He was born on 17th of Rabi'ul Awwal 583 AD, the same day Prophet Muhammad was born. Imam Zain al-Abidin was also alive at the time of his birth and his father Imam Bakir was 26 years old. The addition to the family of Prophet Muhammad was celebrated happily. Until the age of 12 he was raised under his grandfather's supervision. For 33 years after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, Imam Zain al-Abidin's routine was only to pray to Allah and grieve his innocent father. 13 years have passed after the event of Karbala. But it was like it happened yesterday. When Imam Jafar opened his eyes, the grieving and sad environment puts an impact on his life as if he was actually in Karbala and when he came to know that his father was also there on the battlefield, even though he was very young, this feeling might have had made him sad that I am the only one who wasn't there at that time. Due to that his efforts to keep the message of Karbala alive was the apotheosis at the time. He was just 12 years old when his grandfather Imam Zain al-Abidin passed away in 95 CE. After that, he spent 19 years under the guidance of his father Imam Bakir. It was the time when the pillars of Banu Umayyah's ruling weakened, and people from everywhere were coming forward to seek knowledge to Imam Bakir. At that the Imam Jafar had been always attentive in the preaching of his father and was the only person there who was by nature determined for the knowledge and was always with his father either in travel or rest. In 114 CE Imam Bakir passed away and the responsibilities of imamate was conveyed to Imam Jafar at that time. The ruler of Damascus was Hasim ibn Abdul Malik and under his rulership the political fermentation was rising day by day. The thirst for revenge for the brutality of Banu Umayyah was rising drastically among the people and one of them were Hazrat Zaid, son of Imam Zain al-Abidin. He was also a famous personality in Arabia. Hazrat Zaid participated in the war against the cruelty of Banu Umayyah. It was a hard decision for Imam Jafar as he agreed with Hazrat Zaid on the cruelty of Banu Umayyah's and he knew his nephew as well. But Imam could see the after effects of this war were not very much positive, so he decided not to participate in this war but Imam was very much concerned for his uncle. Imam tried to talk to his uncle about the war and tried to stop him but the people of Iraq enforced and ensured the victory to him. Finally, in 120 CE after brave fight with enemies for 3 consecutive days, Hazrat Zaid got martyred in the battle. Enemies didn't stop there. They took his body out of the grave, beheaded the body and sent the head as a gift to Hasim and hanged the body at the door of Kufa for several days. 1 year after this incident his son Yahya ibn Zaid was also martyred. These two incidents had a lot of impact on Imam but he cope his feeling just for the sake of responsibilities he had as Imam and he continued to do so. The ruling days of Banu Umayyah was falling out day by day. It resulted in changing the rulers rapidly. Imam had to go through the era of many governments at that time. After Hasim bin Abdul Malik, Walid bin Yazid bin Abdul Malik, then Yazid bin Abdul Malik, and after him Ibrahim bin Walid bin Abdul Malik, and lastly Marwan, after which ruling of Bani Umayyah ended. It's natural for people who had suffered a lot due to their rulings to shatter the chains of merciless rulers when they got the opportunity. Unlike those noble-minded who were not impassive. Banu Abbas took the advantage of the situation and convinced people that they will give the throne to its rightful owner, Banu Hashim. Though the selected noble personalities in Banu Hashim were the only rightful owner of the throne and were selected by Allah for such great task. After Banu Abbas came into power, they behaved in the same way with Banu Hashim as the Umayyad. From Banu Abbas, Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Abbas was the first person who plotted against Banu Umayyah and sent a propagator to Iran to secretly ask for the promise to stay loyal to Banu Hashim. After Muhammad bin Ali, his son Ibrahim took his place. The death of Hazrat Zayd and his son enraged the people more than before. Banu Abbas also took advantage of the situation and through Abu Salma Kulal put their plot in Iraq as well. Things started to take effect and with the help of Abu Muslim, the whole Iraq was conquered, so the ruler of Banu Umayyah had to leave Iraq. From 129 CE, Iraq and Khorasan was named under the rulership of Ibrahim bin Muhammad, taken away from Banu Umayyah. Till that point, Banu Umayyah thought this rebellious action against the government was limited to Iran, but a spy told them that it's related to Ibrahim bin Abbas. In result, Ibrahim was imprisoned and killed later. Then his feeble-minded people ran with Banu Abbas to Abu Salma in Iraq. When Abu Muslim Khorasani came to know about this, he sent a battalion towards Iraq for the liberation and got succeeded. Abu Salma had faith in Banu Fatima, so he wrote some letter to the nobles of Banu Fatima and invite them to accept the caliphate. One of the letter was for Imam Jafar Sadiq. This type of opportunity for dominion rule in the political world is considered to be a gift. But he was an exemplary figure of self-respect and eschew, who downtrodden this opportunity, and instead of replying he put the letter on fire in his contempt. Here in Kufa, followers of Abu Muslim Khorasani and fleers of Banu Abbas took an oath of allegiance on the hands of Abdullah Sufa on 14 Rabi'a Sani 132 AH and accepted Abdullah as a caliph. After dominion rule on Iraq, they attacked on Damascus. Marwan fought with huge army but he lost the battle. Then fled from the battle and get killed on the lands of Africa. After that, Sufa massacres Banu Umayyah, ordered the grave digging of Saraya Banu Umayyah, behaved fearsome with their corpse, like that revenge of nature which was necessary to take from those merciless was taken by Banu Abbas and witnessed by world. On 163 AH, Abu Abdullah Sufa, the first caliph of Muslim from Banu Abbas, died, and after him his brother Abu Jafar Mansur, who is also popular with the name Mansur Dawanki, inherited the throne. It has been mentioned before that Banu Abbas took the advantage of compassion people had for Banu Fatima and mislead the people by telling them that Banu Abbas has been taken stand to protect the rights of Banu Fatima and make slogans of it for battles. That is why after they came into power they were afraid that the truth might came before the people and the rulership will be transferred to Banu Fatima. Abu Salma had compassion for Banu Fatima, so they were concerned about this matter, so they take him out of the way in spite of all the favors he did to Banu Abbas. In the era of the Sufa he was killed by violence. Abu Muslim Khorasani had effect in Iran, but Mansur cleverly ended his life as well. Now he was feeling relieved as there were none to stop or go against him, so his mercilessness turned towards Banu Fatima. Maulana Shibli quoted in his book Sirat-e-Nomani. Just on the basis of prejudice, Mansur started extermination of Sadat-e-Alavi. Those who were the nobles in them were targeted of his mercilessness. Muhammad ibn Ibrahim, who had handsome personality, was walled up alive. There are many tales of these mercilessness which required a hard heart. These circumstances made huge impact on Imam Jafar. When Bani Hassan was chained and were taken to Medina, Imam hid behind a wall to see all this. He was saying these words while crying, "It's said that Medina is not in peace anymore." After that he regret on the situation of the children of Ansar and thought that the Ansar gave invitation to Prophet Muhammad on the basis of the promise that they will protect Prophet Muhammad and his children just like we protect our life. But today Ansar's family is helpless. Afterwards he came back to home and got sick for 20 days. In the prisoners there were one of Imam Hassan's grandchildren Abdullah Maaz was kept in prison for a long time and his son Muhammad Nafsay Zakiyah fought against government and on 145 AH got martyr by one of an enemy near Medina. The head of the young son has been given to old father in the dungeons. Abdullah Maaz wasn't able to recover this trauma and died in the prison. His other son who was in a battle against Mansur got martyr in Kufa. Abbas ibn Hassan, Umar ibn Hassan A. Muzana, Ali Abdullah and children of Nafsi Zakiyah, Musa, and Yahya, brothers of Nafsi Zakiyah were martyred the same way. Many of Sayyids were walled up alive. After all of these hardships Imam Jafar Sadiq kept himself busy by preaching the knowledge of the Ahlul Bayt. And in turn, those who did not recognize Imam Jafari Sadiq as the Imam started to attend his seminars after listening to his eloquent and thought-provoking speeches. On the other hand, Mansur was plotting against the Imam in order to defame him. Once he decided to bring some scholars and organize a debate with the Imam. He thought the Imam would lose the debate and everyone would stop following him. However, this was not the case. The Imam easily answered every question, and the scholars were shocked by his intelligence and eloquence. When they did not succeed, they started planning to arrest or kill the Imam. They spread their spies in every area to keep an eye on the Shias. Imam Jafar was called from Medina to Iraq 5 times but Mansur was not able to give evidence against the Imam and therefore he was unable to order his arrest. Even after that, the Imam was not safe. Once the Imam's house was set on fire, however nobody was harmed and by the grace of God the fire was extinguished quickly. Imam Jafar Sadiq was one of the links in a chain of complete archetypes that Allah has created for the world. That is the reason his nature and qualities resembled Prophet Muhammad. Once a pilgrim entered Medina and slept in Masjid-e-Nabi. When he woke up, he found his bag which had 1,000 dinar was missing. He tried to find it, but it was nowhere to be seen. Imam Jafar was praying in the masjid. The pilgrim not knowing who the Imam was asked, "Did you just take my pouch?" The Imam asked, "What was in it?" He said, 1,000 dinar. The Imam said, "Come with me to my house." The pilgrim started following the Imam to his home. When they arrived, the Imam gave him 1,000 dinar. The pilgrim took it and came back to the masjid and started collecting his stuff and he found that his pouch was there. In the current situation, everyone knows that acquiring food is difficult, and people are hoarding food and supplies. The following story illustrates the character of Imam Jafar and his generosity. Once Imam asked his counselor Motib, "Grain is being scarce. How much grain do we have?" Motib replied, "We don't have to worry about the drought. We have hoarded enough grain that we won't have problems." Imam said, "Distribute all the grain among people and we will keep what everyone gets equally." When grain was distributed Imam asked, "From now on, don't make bread with wheat but make dough with half wheat and half barley. We should support the poor as much as possible." It was Imam's principle to respect poor people more than rich people. He valued labor and used to do trading and worked in his gardens. Once Imam was gardening with a shovel in his hand. Someone said, "Please give me this shovel so I can perform this duty." Imam asked, "It is not bad to tolerate the hotness and heat of the sun to seek food." In the era of Imam Jafar, Banu Umayyah was busy fighting the battle of survival and dominance, and this resulted in Shias acquiring some religious freedom. So, the Imam started to organize debates and seminars to educate his followers. This freedom, which was not provided to the Imams before Imam Jafar, became the reason that people from all around the world started to come to his seminars, and many hadiths were copied from him. According to Ibn Hajar Hatami, people were getting treasures in the form of knowledge from the Imam, and his name was known everywhere. Many debates have been mentioned between Imam Sadiq and the priests of other religions. In some of these debates, the Imam student in the presence of the Imam debated with others. Once a Syrian who wanted to debate with the Imam's disciples, debated with Hashim bin Salim, who was a great theologian. Another person who wanted to debate with the Imam himself was told by Imam that debate on whichever topic you desire with my disciples. If you beat them, then I'll debate with you myself. That person debated with Kimran ibn An about Quran, Aban ibn Salab about Arabic, Zarara about fiqh and Manan Taq, and Hashim ibn Salim about theology, and won every debate. Then he debated with the Imam and lost the debate almost immediately. The government felt threatened by the knowledge and excellence of the Imam, despite knowing that the Imam was the right heir. When all the efforts of the government against the Imam failed, they used poison as a silent way of killing him. Poison grapes had been sent to the Imam through the governor of Medina, which started to take effect as soon as the Imam ate them, and on the 15th of Shawwal 148 at the age of 65, he was martyred. The Imam's son and successor, Imam Musa Kazim, performed the funeral rituals and buried him in Jannat al-Baqi, where Imam Hassan, Imam Zain al-Abidin, and Imam Muhammad Baqir are buried. Verily we belong to Allah, and verily to Him do we return.